You're listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I'm Greg Stone, Associate VP for Academic Campus Operations at Tulsa Community College. Here with me is our president, Dr. Lee Goodson. Hello, Dr. Goodson.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm going to introduce our guest in just a minute, but as you may remember, a number of us had a full 3 days to talk about this topic at Strategic Horizons last year in 2023.
It's true.
Where a group of us from the college went as a part of that community college network to Nebraska for a couple of days.
Omaha.
To Omaha.
Yes.
My first time there. Lovely city. I'm already looking
forward
to going
back. I lived
there
when I was four.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
And the theme of that was generations in the workplace. And so we came back talking about how can we introduce more of this topic into our conversations at the college, hence our guest today, CC Martin Smith, Director of Employee and Organizational Development. CC, thanks for joining us. You gave a really great, and I will say very popular, presentation at Convocation last fall on this topic. And I don't remember if serendipitously you all in HR suggested this topic. I think you may have, but I just remember thinking, wow, we were talking about how can we get more people to talk about having so many generations in the workplace. So finally glad to have you sit down with us and share some of that with maybe a broader college audience. So thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Can you maybe just start off by telling us why there's been so much more attention lately to multi-generations in the workplace? Is it uncommon in the last century to have so many generations in the workforce all at once? Because there are, what, five generations of people working together? That seems a little unusual.
Yes. So, I mean, when you think about it, multiple generations in the workplace have been around since the dawn of time, right? Family-run businesses and all of that kind of stuff. But what we're seeing in the workplace now definitely is unique, and it reflects just overall population changes. So a large population of baby boomers are retiring, and Gen Z are entering the workforce. And in 2019, millennials overtook baby boomers as the nation's largest living adult generation. And with that, millennials and Gen Z are the largest segments of the working population. So it's really what you see in family dynamics and multi-generational families. You're seeing the dynamics reflected in our workforce. Also, people are living longer, healthier lives, so they're staying in the workforce longer. And some boomers are staying in the workforce longer simply to work part-time or on a contract basis because they want to, or some because they have to. Maybe they fully retired is not an option for them quite yet.
Five generations in the workplace. That seems like a lot. And I know my daughter's getting ready to enter the workforce hopefully soon. Right? and tell us a little bit of, let me back up for just a second. I clearly see the difference, some of the big differences between how my daughter works when, like if she's at a summer employment or she's got a job while she's a student, which she's done that several times while she's been in college to help support her education. And then I listen to her expectations and I keep my mouth shut. But in my head, sometimes I'm going, wow, that's flexible, right? Mm-hmm. And for people my age, I think we think that there's a lot of generosity going on for people in another generation, but really, culturally, that's their generation to need that, right? Mm-hmm. So talk to us about some of the characteristics of the five generations that we have in the workplace now.
Yes, absolutely. So the five generations, I'll just go through them to list them out first, are the traditionalists or the silent generation, baby boomers, then Gen X, millennials, and then Gen Z. And I'll just throw in Gen Alpha is the next one, the little
really?
Littles. Yes. So sometimes I wonder what things will be like for them.
Yeah.
Gen so, Alpha, but they're not in the workforce yet, are they?
No, no.
Okay,
maybe,
that's good.
Maybe the oldest of them are getting very close to their first little, you know, earning a little side money gig from
16,
a family member.
14, 15,
yeah,
16.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I think it's important to point out that I think since the since the beginning, every generation has looked at the younger ones beneath them with a little bit of contemplation and being a little perplexed.
Right.
And maybe for the younger generation, looking back at their parents' or grandparents' generations, they are perplexed as well. But we're really all a result of our, you know, nature, nurture, our raising, and the environments that we're in and what's going on in the world. So as you go through kind of talking about the general characteristics of each of these generations and look at what was going on historically or economic factors, things that instructors here could speak to much more eloquently than I can in terms of political science and socioeconomic factors, it's actually not that weird to see these general characteristics in each generation. So when you think of traditionalists or the silent generation, there's a strong emphasis on rules and a more formal communication style. It's much more kind of have your boss tell you what to do, say absolutely, and go off and do it. No questions asked. Baby boomers, is a generation that can tend to get more personal fulfillment from work, and often their identity can be more wrapped up in their work, which isn't a bad thing, but it can lead to some seeing that as being a workaholic, or kind of just seeing where do you kind of have a differentiation between your work and your life. And then Gen X is our smallest generation. Sometimes they're the seen as a little bit of the forgotten middle child in a way, but they prefer independence, fewer rules, and seeking that work-life balance. And an important thing is lower power distance with their leadership or their managers, you know, kind of an open door policy, much more casual. And then moving on to millennials, that's where you see people who are becoming more entrepreneurial. You see more of that kind of gig economy reflected in their beliefs about work, and preferring direct communication and feedback perhaps more frequently, whereas previous generations may have thought, you know, no news is good news, no feedback is good. And they really want a friendly work environment, enjoying who they work with and having those relationships with their teammates. And last but not least, Gen Z, these are the ones entering the workforce now, using social media to get jobs. They are not going to look at the classified ad in the newspaper. That's not going to happen. Communicating best via technology, so the way they communicate may seem less formal and different to those who are not used to that. And lastly, they have very large networks and can be very helpful in terms of when you think of hiring or recruiting, getting people to come to your company or getting people interested in also becoming students at TCC. That's a fantastic feature of that generation. But in terms of integrating and onboarding somebody into a formal work environment, they don't have as much experience with that. So that's something to think
just
about.
Just as a follow-up question, what are the age groups? So I would imagine that was the first thing that popped into my head. What are the ages of these five groups?
So,
traditionalists would be...
Yes, traditionalists would be, they're definitely like most are not even in the workforce anymore.
Right.
So 65 plus.
Okay.
Then the boomers are the ones who are reaching retirement age. And so I kind of tend to think of them as to like where the cutoff is for the oldest, because they're just very kind of generalized.
Yeah.
You can look at different sources to find exact years, and they'll always be a little bit
different
gray on either end, the bookends. But then Gen X, primarily like in their 50s, and then the oldest of millennials, I think a lot of people are forgetting, they tend to forget that the oldest of millennials are in their 40s now. They're in their early 40s. And then Gen Z are your early 20s to a little bit younger, and then where there's Gen Alpha, our little littles. So
I'm such a typical Gen Xer, for the record. Cece, kind of you spoke to this a little bit, but I wanted to ask more specifically about communication and conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone is needing to have, especially at work, a difficult conversation, whether it's a faculty member and a student or a supervisor and employee, if those people also are of different generations, I'm going to assume there's some differences in communication
mm-hmm.
about what's, you know, delivery and how to receive messages. Are there some common consistent approaches though?
Yes.
Or
yes, well, in the content that I presented, we talk about kind of the six strategies for effective communication, which can also be seen as ways to communicate intergenerationally, but I really look at it as just being nice and playing nice in the sandbox. So we're talking about establishing respect, being flexible and accommodating, avoiding stereotyping, engaging in discussion to learn, not to be right, and tailoring your communication style, thinking about how people prefer to be communicated to, more formal, less formal, by email or in person, those kinds of things. And ultimately, don't overlook similarities. It's really important to think about when we can see similarities with others, we tend to have more fluid communication with them and an easier time.
Let's talk about the millennials.
Yes.
In 2024, they will be the largest population in the workforce. What does that mean for our workforce?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning. That will be the first year that they are the largest part of our workforce population, right?
Yes.
Do we know how long that will last? That's a surprise question, right?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how long they're expected to be.
But for a while,
because it's mm-hmm. a larger, the millennials are a larger
right, because Gen A isn't coming up for a little bit.
A bit, yeah.
So, what can we see that might be different?
Mm-hmm. And I think you're already, you're already starting to see some of the trends that millennials have brought into the workplace, and Gen Z is bringing it forward and kind of even pushing the boundaries more. So definitely work-life balance, or even thinking of it mm-hmm. more as like work-life integration, what work looks mm-hmm. like, how it's done, when it's done, and where it's done, are going to be things that are not going to necessarily look the same that we've been used to. Leveraging technology, definitely. It's going to be a necessary skill to utilize technology and be open to adopting new technology. Wanting meaningful, intellectually stimulating work, it is very important, and feeling a sense of reward from the type of work that they do. It tends to be a millennial and forward characteristic. And then also having a more of a lattice or individualized approach to how they grow in their careers and how they grow others, versus kind of that corporate ladder of just climbing in a linear fashion up to different roles, which also is related to kind of lower power distance that you're seeing, like less of a power distance between leaders and their workers. And lastly, teamwork and relationships are highly valued, and salary and prestige may not be the highest thing on somebody's list. Do not get me wrong. Those are definitely still very important factors, but they may not be the top factor that people were using to consider career changes or pivots in previous generations.
And so that condition may, in fact, be getting a little easier
mm-hmm.
because the traditionalists are probably almost completely out of the workforce mm-hmm. and baby boomers are working their way out. When you think mm-hmm. about somebody that is more personally fulfilled with work and then somebody that wants, you know, whose values reflect a millennial's, those are pretty far apart. And it sounds like the Gen Xers are the bridge,
mm-hmm.
right,
yes.
to that work.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something a few minutes ago, Cece, I wanted to end on, which is stereotyping, right? Because obviously, yes, all these generations have their characteristics, but they're not monolithic movements, mm-hmm. right? So can you give us some tips on how to avoid those pitfalls that seem so easy to fall into, to say, oh, an Xer is always going to do this, or mm-hmm. a Y is always going to, when we know that's not, you know, the case, because people are people, right? How can we avoid that, especially
Absolutely.
At work?
Yes. That is something that I try to make very clear when I discuss this topic, because the best advice that I've ever heard is to live by the platinum rule. We've heard of the golden rule, which is treat others as you would like to be treated. Then there's the platinum rule, which is treat others as they would like to be treated. So mm-hmm. it really is important to think about the fact that, yes, knowing these general characteristics is important as a data point, as information. However, not to be so prescriptive with it that we forget that everybody is a unique individual. So really, you want to learn about the people on your teams and how they like to be communicated with. How do they feel respected? And ultimately, that will lead to better interactions all around.
Great. Great advice.
Cece Martin-Smith, Director of Employee and Organizational Development, thank you so much for being here and talking to us about the different generations in the workplace and some of the things we need to be looking for. And there's more to come, right? This was just a 15, 20 minute discussion about it, but really appreciated your professional development that you provided before and look forward to more of that. My name's Lee Goodson. I'm joined today by my co-host, Dr. Greg Stone. Greg, have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening.